last time I lost you and I had to come back on because the cable modem went out. It's still green right now, so no issues. So we'll do the intro of stuff and then we'll go from there. But I guess the first thing on the list, we want to talk about all your amazing purchases on Amazon. Okay. You want to talk about that?
We can talk about it.
Are you sure? You sure. Don't look like you want
I'm
to talk
still,
about
I'm
it.
I'm still waiting for it to come in. I get really frustrated when it says, like, my Amazon thing says it's delivered.
Okay.
But then it's not delivered. I go there and I'm like, ugh. Because
so
most of the time.
Are you waiting for more stuff?
Yes. Like three more
How
boxes.
Much more?
Like three more boxes or technically like 11 or 12 more items.
What?
And I got like a bunch of stuff earlier this week too.
What?
Amazon Prime, I swear. You know what's lucky about everybody in the other 49 states is that their Amazon Prime stuff probably came like within a couple days and mine takes like 2 weeks to get here.
Yeah, because it has to go over the water.
Yeah.
Long trips.
Yeah, long trips. I mean, sometimes it gets here pretty quickly, but because of the whole COVID thing, it's been taking around 2 weeks. Usually I'll get it average a week.
Okay.
So I'm not too much in a hurry.
Okay.
But like I'm one of those people, like I'll buy it and 30 seconds later I'm hitting that track button and update. I'm ridiculous. But like I'm like holding this because I'm so incredibly pointless purchase. I follow Fat Kid Deals on Twitter and there's one more that's very similar. So they always post things that are on sale and then like they'll also include like a little code to get more off.
Right.
And so there's these like LED masks that I bought. So
Why?
They were 50% off.
Why
I don't know
did you do
because
that?
Because it looked cool. Well,
why
because
did you do
I
that?
Wanted it. Like the ones I was looking at was like $30 or something like that. And then okay. They had this for like 50% off. And then they had another code for like 20% off on it. I'm like, oh, well, like $10. And like it just lights up and I can change it. It'd be really cool if it was like
did
sound
you wear it
activated.
Already?
Not yet. I just picked it up today.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like really stoked on it. I don't know. It's not like we have raves here or anything like that, but I feel like if I'm walking at night or something, people will notice me not hitting
so how
me.
Do you
I have no
clean
idea.
It? Like
I'm gonna assume just carefully. That's right. What I'm like looking at right now. There's no like there's nothing in here to be able to take out the electronics because these I think are fiber optic lights, I think. So I'm going to have to hand wash this, but it does come with replacement filters to put inside of it. This thing is okay. Really thick. If anybody's going to complain about breathing, I think whoever is going to be wearing this mask, because this thing is really thick. And then it has the filters that you can replace and put into it. And then you have the electronics that's in front of it. And then the thick layer of lights, but it's not so bad. Just don't go running with it. I wouldn't suggest running with these.
Don't go.
Because I don't know about that one, but it's going to amuse me. So I bought two of them.
You, okay. See, someone has to take your Amazon away because you're buying all these things.
You did. What else did I buy? I bought a plague mask, the doctor plague mask, the one with the long beak, because that was like $7. That came in and that actually looks really good.
Okay.
I think my son is taking that one from me though. So I kind of want to go back and buy two more because we think it would be great to use them for our Christmas photos this year.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely ridiculous to go see Santa if they're going to allow people to go see Santa and take pictures with Santa because that's something we do every year. No matter how big my son is, we go to the mall and we take photos with Santa.
Yeah. I've seen your pictures and stuff. So, IG, what's your IG?
Missy JM. Like I'm so easy to find. But I think that'd be really cool to just have that. I mean, you can't see our faces, but it'll pretty much be like the sum of what 2020 was. What else did I buy? I bought the Mod Mic wireless. So just for anybody to know, it was not sent to me for free, although it'd been great. Hello, Antolin. Audio, if you ever want to send me stuff to check out. But this was actually, I think it's usually like $150, but it was on Prime Day, it was 95, I think. There was like a small little coupon, and then it was also like $50 off. So the purpose that I bought this for, so this is the wireless one that has the magnet, so you can attach it to any headset that you have.
Show it on screen.
So I'm trying to like not drop everything else. So this one, you can attach it to any headset that you have. This part is actually magnetic, and it's actually really strong the way that it just like snaps on. Has a sticky back, so you can put it onto your headset here, and then you can detach this or attach it and adjust wherever you want. I haven't tried it out yet. The purpose that I got this for is that I really do plan on returning back to streaming, and I would really love to do VR streams a little bit more than I was before. Right now, my current setup requires me to use the mic that's in my headset, in my Oculus Rift right now. It's not a terrible mic, but it's also not the best sounding mic. It picks up everything. It's staticky, and it's like you really don't have much control over the audio for that. So I'm really hoping to be able to use this. I'm kind of half debating if I want to attach it directly to my headset itself or to attach my Astros to, because you should be able to plug it in. I think they're somewhere. I have to figure that part out too. I just bought a lot of stuff based off of theory, and I have to put that into play. And then when I do, I will definitely talk about all these things, because one of the things I'm still waiting to come in the mail from Astro, actually. And I don't think a whole lot of people know this or pay attention to this, is that the PS5 doesn't have an optical port. So what Astro has is they actually have an adapter that is, has the HDMI, and it goes to, I think, HDMI 2.0, which is a very interesting choice that they went with there. But it has the optical port, so that if you have any of Astro's, like their mix amps, or any really headset that requires having an optical port, that's like the adapter that you will be using for it, so that you can still utilize that. When they release it, I think they're still sold out right now.
Right. But, is that the compatibility thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had this nice little deal. If you go to their website, you can actually put in for a code. And as long as you have your base mix amp, you can put in the serial number into it, and it'll send you a discount code so that you can get it at a cheaper price. I think it was like $15.99. Okay. After you use the code, which is really nice. So I bought that. But in the process of seeing that, I also noticed that they had a VR cable on the Astro site that I was not aware of. I'm like, there's a VR cable? I'm just bad with just whatever side it was, because I think it was like $5 or something like that. I'm like, sure, I'll buy it. What is this for?
Right.
I have a VR, I have a headset from you. Sure. But I think that's so that you can attach your Astro headset to your VR headset and use, instead of the built-in headset into your HMD, you can use those instead. So I'm kind of debating that for using this attachment and seeing how that all works out. A lot of planning and testing is going to have to go into this.
Okay.
But I just went on a free for all and buying stuff, and I couldn't stop myself, because what else did I buy that I'm still waiting, that I was supposed to be here today, so I guess I'm going to get it tomorrow. I bought some HDMI and USB 3.0 extension cables for my Oculus Rift. Because I have little anchors I can put on my ceiling so that I don't get tangled in my wires. So that's why I wanted to buy that extension for that. And what else did I purchase? This is a lot of stuff for my stream sites. I bought a whole lot of stuff. So I also recently had out. I might as well at this point. Right. Jeff Bezos, you can be parents with me, because apparently I just give you a bunch of money, which is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of these things, if I can buy from a mom and pop store or locally owned business or even a small business online, I will purchase from there. But these, like I can't get a mod mic wireless from a lot of mom and pop stores, unless somebody kind of tells me if they have, like, somebody who has some deals on electronics. I don't know. But I recently found out that Canon had their webcam utility that came out. I want to say it was last year, but this year has felt like it's been lasting for 3 years. So I'm not quite sure exactly when they originally announced it. So what that utility does is makes it so that you can use your Canon DSLRs as a webcam.
Nice.
At the time of they announced it, it didn't support my Canon, my 7D, my Mark One at all. So I was a bit bummed about that. But randomly, the beginning of October, I decided to go and look it up to see if they added support. And lo and behold, they did.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, that's great. And it's free. I'll definitely send Andrew the link so that you guys can go and check that out too. So it's basically just turning in your Canon DSLR. Because for a little while, I was looking at other mirrorless cameras, which the Sony ones are pretty much the most popular so far among everybody who's using it. They're mirrorless. They're really nice, but they come with like a $500 price tag.
Is that the A6400 and those guys?
Yeah, they're like $500 to $1,000 in between. There's like, I think the initial one for the starters, which is the most popular, was the 5100, but it's really hard to find one that's new now because it's been out for a while. So you're having people who are picking up like the 6000 series and so forth. But if I can get away and see what the quality would be like for the Canons, I can live with that for a while.
Right.
I don't take nearly as many photos. So might as well utilize it.
What's the max quality you're trying to get like out of the cameras right now?
What is that?
What's the max quality you're trying to get out of the cameras right now? You're trying to get 1080 or you're trying to go higher than that?
Just a smooth 1080. Okay. And that's the thing is I'm stuck in between having something that puts out 30 frames or 60 frames. So right now, as far as being able to use a DSLR for a webcam, the more popular thing to use is the Elgato Cam Link.
Right.
That's $150.
Unless you get the $20 one that's floating around.
That's what I picked up actually. So there's actually a couple, and Harris Heller. Yes, I said that right. I think
you said that right. Yeah,
it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. He actually posted up a YouTube video comparing this one brand, and it's a really off brand thing. And there's actually several of them that are available. They all have the same image, but they all are like labeled by like whatever distributor is coming out. So the one I picked up, the exact one that he listed, I'm like, I'm just gonna go with this one because this is the one that you linked. This is the one that you're doing. It's 30 frames, and it's going over USB 2.0, and that's the thing that's kind of bothering me. But it is $20,
right?
So
I saved one because I was talking to Gothics about this a while ago, and she had sent over. I mean, I'll see if I can pull it up in a second. Where did I put it? Is it audio video? What's the name on yours?
Diwuer. I am not even sure how you say that, but there's a lot. There's actually quite a few of this specific one. See, mine didn't have that adapter cable.
Yeah, this one I saved. I have it on screen right now. This is Ideal Force. There's like you said, there's like four or five of them around the same price range competing for that particular market share. So this is the one I actually saved. What's the name of the one? Spell it out for me.
I DM'd it to you.
Yeah, you did.
Real quick.
Yeah, you did. Hold on a second. Let me see. See if hopefully I don't break anything. Okay. How are we looking? We're still live.
Yeah, we're still here. We're still live.
Dower?
I don't know. I don't know how you correctly say it, but that's exactly the same one that Harris Heller had on his video that he was comparing it. Because he was in that video, he was doing comparisons of name brands and then, you know, kind of discount off brands. And of the three, I think he did a webcam, the capture card link, and a mic. And of those three, that one actually kind of performed really well and was amazing. So for $20, and I think it has a little bit of a discount thing that's going on. I mean, that's not going to break the bank. It's not going to break the bank. And I can make do with having a $20 experiment. So I'm going to try that out. I had to get a HDMI to mini HDMI cable because apparently there's none on this island. So I had to have that ordered and sent to me because that's what the mini HDMI is what I need to connect my camera.
So Daniela.
Yeah.
This is episode 564.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that crazy? It's a little insane, huh?
Yeah, it is. And we're just going with it. I'm glad that we can record regularly. Yeah.
We're just going. So I posted the links in the chat for those two video capture cards. What's the next tech you got? What else are you working on?
Oh, what did I order? I'm like, I don't just like going down the list of stuff. Just pretty much a lot of stuff to be able to do that, which I had to get a dummy. It was like $30, a dummy battery for my Canon. So it's basically, I always have power. It's just...
That's the one that you plug into the wall? That's
yeah, you plug it into the wall, but it's like a dummy battery that you put into the camera itself that's direct plug-in for power. So it's always on and you're not running off of battery power. Had to order that.
The camera that I wanted?
I don't think so.
We didn't talk about that, did we? So the dummy battery that you're talking about right now, I actually have one saved because I have this dream that one day I'm going to have a DSLR because I want one really badly. Okay. So this one here I saved. Charger kit for Canon, EOS Rebel, T6i. So I'm looking at the SL2. That's the one I'm considering in my future of things. So I saved. So this is what you're talking about, right? I want to make sure we're talking about the same
thing. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so this is what I'm considering on my end for that stuff.
The only thing I don't have is a table clamp to hold my DSLR.
A table clamp?
Well, yeah. Okay, so Elgato has one, but that thing is like right now $200, and what it does, it's a single pole tripod, but you clamp it to your desk.
Okay.
And they mainly use, like, you can use it for literally anything, ring lights, your webcam, a DSLR, but I think they have it mostly packaged with their key lights.
Gotcha.
But you can buy it separately. That is like $200. And I have yet to find.
It's $200 for the
right now it is because it's so hard to get. So the prices are jacked up. I think it's like around $150 or something like that. But still, if you don't notice a trend here, I'm kind of going for affordability. And right now, the Mod Mic is really the most expensive thing that I bought. Everything else was $30 and below. So that one, I am having a hard time finding an affordable version of it. Like, Neuer has a couple ones, but they're really short. Like, they're like 21, 22 inches. That's not even going to reach above my monitor. So I am, that's the only place I'm stuck, and I have not come up with a solution yet. So if anybody has any suggestions or recommendations that is not Elgato's one, let me know. Cause like, that is like a absolute last resort. I cannot justify the price of that one.
Where can they find you?
On Twitter or email me. Just hit me up.
Email? Plug your stuff so they can find
you. My email. Oh, Danny at the show. Oh, wait. Is it Danny? No, it's Daniela. I can't even remember my own email. Daniela at the show radio.info.
Gotcha.
Or Twitter at Missy GM. Because that's where I'm stuck right now, is trying to find something there. And it doesn't have to be on Amazon. Just saying. It can be on like B&H Video or whatever, Newegg. That's kind of where it's just not happening for me.
Okay.
So a lot of things that I'm looking forward to testing out when I get it all over the next couple of weeks and redoing my setup.
Okay. And you're streaming when? When are you going back?
Don't know yet. When I finish my graphics, that's when. I was hoping it was going to be this month, but I got bombarded by everything and I'm only halfway through to revamping everything that I like. And also when I'm not the greatest designer, so I have to like create something I like it. And then I'll walk away from it for a couple days. And when I come back to it, if I still like it, that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
So that's where like my whole process of this whole thing's been.
Okay. So guys, welcome back to the show. This is episode 564. You have Daniela and myself. I'm Andrew. And we talk about tech and games and all Daniela's shopping list. Yeah. That's how we started this one. But this week's news, thank you for sharing that, by the way. I really appreciate the links. I'm going to do some more research on my end because I'm definitely looking at the DSLR for the next upgrade, but we're still working through that. So news this week has been interesting as far as news is concerned. You have unboxings of sorts between the Xbox individuals who are unboxing their Xboxes and the PS5s and all that. You also have delays, and you also have bat tweets. Okay, so there's been a lot of different things, but we'll start at the top. This is disappointing news for individuals who are waiting for this game. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again, and I know there's many individuals who are upset about it. Some individuals are saying that, you know, they don't care about the developer anymore, but so there's mixed emotions because the game keeps getting pushed. So Daniela, thoughts on that, and then we'll open it up.
For me personally, I waited 8 years, just over 8 years. The waiting this last year feels like nothing. Like, okay, do I want to play? Yeah, of course. Am I a little bit disappointed that it's being delayed again? Of course. But I mean, I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm not going to send death threats to people who have no control whether it can be released or not. But I think at this point for sure, especially since they recently announced that they went gold, what, a week ago, week and a half ago.
Yep.
That if they have to delay it an extra 3 weeks, something must have been found that was going to greatly hurt them. That's how I feel. It's like there had to be a bug in there, an issue that they found that's just like, no, if we launch this and they come across this, this can make and break us. That they made that hard decision of like, we will delay it 3 more weeks to avoid that. We will take the backlash of that rather than the backlash of whatever would possibly harm or interrupt the gameplay of somebody's experience.
Right.
Not that was confirmed or anything like that. That is my assumptions. That's what I would think would lead to this decision.
So it says a quote here. We've decided to move the release date of Cyberpunk 2077 by 21 days. The new release date is the 10th of December. And then basically, most likely there are many emotions and questions in your head. So first and foremost, please accept our humble apologies. And it goes into different things as far as like what was technically, but they don't really share as much because from what I've gathered from this, even the individuals working on the game were kind of surprised that this announcement came about. So they found out almost around the same time that we found out. So it's like, do we get upset or do we just wait till the game comes out? The game is going to have bugs anyway. So it's like, do we continue to be mad at the company that they believe they're trying their best to put a great product out without that many bugs in the beginning? Because they're going to have bugs, right?
Yep. There's going to be a day one patch.
Right. They're going to have bugs. Or do we just ride it out? So I think that has been the conversation surrounding, I guess, what I've been seeing on the internet, where individuals are going to be extremely upset about this, or they're just going to wait it out. So the other thing that was interesting to me also is, as I was thinking about other companies that have delays or anything like that, I was thinking about Nintendo. I don't know why Nintendo came to mind, but to me, and I guess I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this, when Nintendo has a game coming out and the game is going to be delayed, the delays are few and far in between, but when they're making a game, we wait a very, very long time before Nintendo releases a game. So I don't know why Nintendo came to mind. So I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that, as it relates to companies that just wait a long time, and when the game is ready, they release it, versus companies that will say, hey, we have this delays until the game is ready.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with pressure from higher ups, the people who care about the money of things. I'm putting it out there. And plus, with as much hype and just like the way that everything blew up when they did announce it, at least for Cyberpunk, that's a huge factor, because now they have like this huge expectations of them. People want this. People have put so much money, time, and everything into it to wanting to play their game. So I think there's that weird pressure. Where Nintendo, I feel like they've always been in their own world. And they will tease stuff, but I like that they never really give a solid, like, date. They right. never really give you an idea. Just like, here's this. You'll get it when it's ready.
Right.
And they, exactly. But the thing is I think because of that, because they never add on that additional pressure of like, oh, they say 2021, it's going to be out in 2021. It's this. But I think when they give those dates, they've always stuck with it, and they have such a good history about, you know, just like when you say you're going to come out with this, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to be expected. And they just, I feel like they have almost a different standard for themselves.
Yep.
Like they do not announce any hard set dates until they are pretty set. Like, yeah, we can meet that. We can exceed that. And we're good to go. We're on track. I don't.
Yeah, they stick out for me. Any other companies stick out for you when it comes to that stuff like that?
No, not really.
Right.
Not really at all. Like,
and I'm wondering if that's a good or bad thing, because that's the only company that I thought about when I started seeing additional delays for different things.
I'm sure they've come out with some delays somewhere along the lines. And you know what? This year, I kind of almost expected any game that was going to be announced or was expected to release this year to be just delayed. I think I just assumed once everybody and they enacted that whole remote working and everything like that across the board for so many people, like I felt like any game that was planned for the second half of 2021 was just going to be pushed back and delayed. I'm amazed that any games actually met their dates
right.
and did really well and was able to accomplish that, which is great for them. But I just can't, I think March rolled around and that first announcement of Cyberpunk's delay, then I'm like, you know what? I don't expect any game to come out on time. I don't even expect any games that are slated for 2021 to come out on time.
Interesting. Okay.
Because that is really hard to put that on people. Like, I, the way that people are angry, first of all, 2020 has been a crapshoot of a year. That's true. Think people are just trying to find place to put their anger towards it. Like, I know in the past.
That's an understatement. Yeah.
I think in the past, yes, during delays, there have been people who are angry. But nothing to this level where you have these developers now coming out like death threats. No, that is not appropriate. All these messages, all these hate messages coming out. Like, I'm sure there have been, but not to this amount of force, this conviction that people have behind it until this year. And I think it's just because so much has happened to us. So much has gone on this year that like some people are just like putting their anger towards anything and everything that they can, because we've been holed up at home. We've been struggling through this year. This True. Is such an awkward year for us to be going through, that there's just so much fuel behind that. So when you have something that you are so looking forward to, you're originally looking forward to it in April.
Right.
Get pushed back. Like, how many times did they delay?
Half a year?
4 or 5 times? Yeah. They delayed several times.
Right.
Just like, come on. Does not justify what those people are doing at all. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Would you have rather found out like when they thought they were going to make the announcement, or how would you, how would you want to get that news that they were going to delay it again?
I was fine with the way that they put it out. So, but I guess okay, the so point, me, stop putting a date question. On things. Just stop me, putting a date.
Right. So let me add clarity to my question. If you were working for them and you were working on the game, how would you want that information to get to you? With everybody I think as else a
team,
getting it?
I think okay. as a team meeting, I don't think that if you're working on the game, you're working for the studio, that you should find out what the rest of the world does. So there gotcha. Should be like a team meeting, maybe a send all, like all team member email or something like that.
Right.
That went out like, this is what's going to be happening.
Right.
But right,
yeah, it's just weird. But I'm still excited for the game. But here's what this means, though, right? So because we're not going to see that until December, now we have a good portion, a greater window to play other games that we wanted to catch up on, right?
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, right. That's right. I know you're pretty hyped about that. So now you have other games that you have on the calendar, whether that's, you know, COD or whether that's, you know, Destiny stuff, whether that's even Genshin Impact that's been catching my attention a little bit. So there's other games that you can have access to and enjoy more time with before, if you're looking forward to this title, Cyberpunk. So any final thoughts on this?
No, I do know a couple of people who are just so over it already that they canceled their pre-orders.
Interesting.
I think that is a more understandable way to retaliate and be upset about it than, you know, angry messages. It speaks a lot better if you talk with your money rather than with your words.
All right. So do you think they're going to get the game anyway?
I think eventually they will.
Okay.
I don't think they're completely just like boycotting it, but it's just kind of like, you know what? You're not going to get the full dollar amount. I will buy it used. I'll buy it on sale later on. I'll probably play it, but there's no way you're going to get the full amount from me.
Gotcha.
I think that's the tire attitude.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So next thing we have, Xbox Series X fridge. Let's talk about this, right? So when we first saw the Xbox Series X, there were a whole bunch of memes that started coming out about it looking like a fridge. And the fact that they turned this thing around to actually have a physical fridge that you can win, right? According to the sweepstakes. And it seems like it's floating around because, I think Snoop Dogg,
posted it. Yeah. He posted it. That's the first time I saw it.
Right. I think has a video that is showing like an unboxing of the fridge, if you will. So, what do you think about this?
I could use a new fridge.
Yeah.
That's what I think. No, I think it's smart and it's hilarious. It's great marketing. And I think I love a team. I love a marketing team that will just take memes or a joke or an idea that somebody had and just like go with it. Cause I think it's just funny and people enjoy it. And it's a joke for everybody because yeah, like you're saying, that was one of the memes. Like that was the long standing thing. It was like, oh, you know, when it comes to next gen, are you going to buy the refrigerator? Or are you going to buy the router? Right. Granted, the whole router thing for PS5 isn't as funny and useful as a fridge. But yeah, when I saw like Snoop Dogg had it, I'm like, of course they'd make something special, limited edition for Snoop Dogg. And then they had it. I was like, do you have another one that you can win? What?
Yeah, I thought it was a joke when I saw the video, though. I really thought it was a joke.
It's a really good joke, though, but it's a really nice looking one. That thing must draw so much power. And I feel like it probably would. Maybe not. I don't know. This is the first time this is me because I don't have fancy refrigerators. I've never seen a refrigerator that didn't have the freezer part. Like I saw it, I'm like, it's one giant refrigerator. Where do I put my ice cream?
Right. Well, sometimes they have it. So when the door opened, so now that you mentioned that, I'm trying to see if I remember seeing it.
It's one whole door, right? It's one whole door. There's no bottom part for the freezer. It's just one whole thing that you just put all your regular normal refrigerator stuff, not your freezer stuff.
So I'm like, you can get a freezer separate if you need a freezer.
You know what would be great, though, if they had a freezer version of the Xbox Series X? You know, one of those, like, cabinet ones that the open top freezer is?
Right.
I'm like, you could totally make a freezer out of that one. But I mean, I don't know. That looks good, though. It does. It really does. And I, you know what my favorite part of it as being a refrigerator? See, if I look at it as a console, I'm still not impressed by it. But if I look at it as a refrigerator,
that is
a sick refrigerator.
Yeah, it is. So the bottom, okay, clear. Okay, so the bottom, yeah, you're right. I really didn't think about the freezer part.
I was all like, that's so much food I can put in there.
Yeah.
Then I don't know where I put any ice creams.
So did you apply for the sweepstakes? So what are you going to do?
Of course I did. I don't know if I'd ever get it, but you know what? At this point, like Xbox, if you just even want to send me just an Xbox in general, just a normal.
Right.
I would take an Xbox Series X or S. Doesn't matter to me. I'll take one. I want to do an unboxing. Which I'm kind of glad that they had a second wave of content creators that they have been sending it out to.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have been POC members.
Yeah.
Which I'm like wondering, like, that one is like first of all, I'm not saying it's bad that they sent the POC creators, but I want to know if on the second wave it was done on purpose that, like, it was a little bit unsavory that the first batch of the first initial content creators didn't have as many.
Right.
I mean, I know there was.
So do you think tiers? Elaborate on that a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just because, like, I know that earlier this year they had a very strong stance for standing with the Black Lives Matter movement and being very open about that, which is great. But what I did notice about the second wave of people who are receiving this as an early gift from Xbox have all been POC members.
Okay.
And I'm like, I am happy for them. But I'm thinking on the other side of Xbox, like, why didn't you do that the first time? Why are they part of the second tier?
Right.
And I'm probably really looking too deep into this, but I always feel like when it comes to big companies, their motives is always from a marketing, making money and just like, hey, look at us. We're doing a good thing for like this movement. Please love us more.
Okay.
Like why didn't they get it earlier too?
Right. So here's the thing, right? So one of the things that I did see when the first wave went out, right? There were murmurings of sorts on social media about exactly what you're talking about right now, that it should have been a push to everyone, right?
Yeah.
Once they pushed out the consoles to whoever was going to receive them. And after that, it looked like they went quiet for a little bit.
Yeah. Because after that first batch, I just figured, okay. To me, I was like, okay, they just gave it to whoever's influential, big influential parties, media. That part kind of made sense to me. I'm like, okay, right.
So a quick note there, because I think that you and I were kind of mentioning the same thing as it relates to this point, that the numbers matter, the relationships matter. Sometimes they're independent of each other. We're talking about that a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what dictated that this person get it and that person didn't get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because some of those relationships have been built over a long period of time, you know, some of it years, right? Or it could be, hey, you got the amount of subscribers on this particular platform and we want the attention. And there's that too. So yeah, no, go ahead.
That's it. I mean, that's where I thought the initial wave was going to be. I'm like, okay, I get it, why they got it. And then they had the second batch and I'm like, okay, well, they fit a certain demographic, I notice. And like, why not send it to everybody at the same time? That's right. That's kind of where I got stuck with it. Like, what is your motives here, Xbox? Right. And then they just could simply not have any. They just wanted to give out more and just like support other content creators and have people excited because like I play devil advocate within my own brains on different motives. And of course, you're never going to get that solid answer unless you ask them unless directly you know the person, and you might,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I kind of like that they did. I think I found it more endearing to watch unboxings from outlets that aren't big news sources or you don't typically see on a regular basis. And that's what I loved about it. I enjoyed those more than, I don't know, IGNs.
Okay.
It felt more genuine, but also for some of the content creators, it's like their first big item that they received as part of like an early review or, right. You know, first look at something that big. Like they might have gotten games, but to receive a console, a next gen console, that is a whole other level. And for them to be experiencing that, I love that.
Right.
I thought that was great and fantastic. That was like my favorite parts. And those are my favorite videos.
No, I definitely agree with you there. Like the biggest item, whatever that is for that particular creator, that is not necessarily, like you said, associated with a huge website that built their platform on social on their own. I mean, they probably collaborated with an outlet for a while and then started doing their own stuff, right? Seeing those individuals put out their bits and pieces of content for either Xbox Series S or X or PS5, that has been really, really nice to watch. Right. So, and I think that you can't really put into words, like when you get something huge like that in value. So let's talk about something that's either 500 plus, right, in value from a company, and sometimes 1,000, which, you know, I've been able to experience that. You can't put into words like what that feels like where they say, hey, take this on us. Just let us know how you're going to cover it and stuff like that. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I think that when it comes to social media, and something that I posted earlier today as I'm thinking about it now, is just build your building without tearing somebody else's down, right? Just build your stuff. Just do what you're doing, okay? And just wish everybody well and then go from there. But if you have to find a reason to like poo-poo on the person that got the thing that you wanted, it doesn't inspire community. It doesn't give the community oxygen to share that stuff. So now it becomes psychologically now, yeah, I just got a big thing from a company. Do I even share it to the social media platforms? Now I have anxiety just prepping to share it because there's going to be some backlash and it's difficult.
Because there's always going to be those people who are like, how did you get that? Who are you?
Right. Why you? You don't have the numbers. You don't have the subscribers. And how did you find out? You know, and then you have the individuals who will just reach out to you based on the fact that they saw that you got said thing, whatever that thing is. And now they want to try to be your friend just to get into your Rolodex, right? So then you have those conversations and they're very sensitive conversations to have at times because we realize that not everybody wants to admit when they're wrong about things, right? So there's still that factor of, hey, this is not the way it's done. And when you try to share the way it's done based on your experiences that have been tremendously positive, some people are offended by that. So it's a lot of stuff with all that.
I think if you're the content creator or, you know, up and coming media outlet, I think you just kind of not listen to it and just go for it.
Right.
Because no matter what you do, no matter how you approach it, no matter how carefully that you try to navigate it, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be upset about it. There's always going to be people who are being questioning your worth about it. But there's still going to be those people that are happy that you get that. Because right. Like I could very easily for us say like, why did they get it? We have 564 episodes doing this for 10 years. we've been through all these events. Why didn't we get one? Like, it's very easy to just fall into that. It's very, very easy to fall into that.
And let's be honest, I've thought about it, but and I'm still navigating the projection of attention, whatever that means in my brain right now. It just makes sense. The projection of attention, it depends on how far that reach is before individuals are paying attention. So I think like, okay, there's still a lot of building going on with some of the things that we're doing collectively and independently. So I'm not necessarily upset about that journey that they're experiencing the fruits of their labor, right? Because the projection of attention for said content creator, whoever they may be, maybe a wider range, right? That caught the company's attention. So I'm not really upset about it because I'm really trying to be honest with, you know, marketing and advertising and self-promotion, all that stuff. And self-promotion is absolutely amazing because if you don't promote yourself in the beginning, it ain't getting out, right? That's just how it works. So you have to find a fine balance between the self-promotion, building a community that appreciates your stuff, then ideas worth sharing, and then PRing yourself so people actually listen and pay attention. So there's a lot involved there. So yes, of course, as a human being, I've thought, man, you know, it'd be cool to have a PlayStation 5. It'd be cool to have an Xbox, but I cannot, that has nothing to do with their successes.
Yeah. Right?
That has a lot to do with my insecurities, right? As it relates to my content. And if you're not honest about that, then it's going to be hard to celebrate when everybody's winning.
Yeah, you're pretty much shooting yourself in the foot. When I see friends that happen, like good things happen for them, I really am genuinely happy for them.
And this coming from the person that has all this stuff behind them from companies, right? Never mind, right? Yeah, right?
Yeah, your pile is a lot bigger. Your thing is growing there. Mine, I got nothing.
Just breaking that ice a little bit. I have nothing to complain about. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm always genuinely happy. And I think somebody, like some people see when I congratulate a friend for something that they did great. Like for some people, they don't think it's ever genuine coming out of me. Well, you're just saying that because you have to. I'm like, no. I'm not going to mention names about the person who brought this up to me.
No, we're not mentioning no names in this episode.
But there is a person's name that I will say, but that's only because I'm really proud of them.
No, can we not? Do we have
to? But no, names? I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud of them.
Okay, fair enough. Proud is good.
But no. So Ray Apollo, I was following him on Twitter for like years.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta find this really old tweet of ours. And when I say years, I want to say like 6 or 7 years we've been following each other online. I can't even remember when or why we followed each other, but there was this point where I think we were tweeting and we were talking about stuff. This is well before I even met you. You're like, yeah, it'd be cool one day if we went to E3. And he wasn't even streaming. He wasn't doing any of these
things. Ray, but carry on. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ray is freaking awesome. But yeah, so we would talk online on Twitter and stuff occasionally. And like when I started doing stuff, he was always so kind and went to whatever accomplishments I was going to go and do or whatever I had to announce. He was always so positive. And even him, it's like, I remember telling him, it's like, if you want to just jump in streaming, just like, let me know, I'll help you out or whatever that. And he got into it. He navigated himself, but he has like this genuine, real aura and vibe about him.
He's happy for you. Like for real.
He is. But even just that, like the way he does stuff, he's the type of personality that you just gravitate to because he's such an uplifting person. He is such a good outlook. And I'm sure he probably has his own struggles. Everybody has their own struggles online.
Absolutely.
But when things are good, when things are positive, when he's happy for other people, that he just attracts that about him. And he's just a genuine man. And I got to meet him at TwitchCon last year for the first time. And like he's almost the top person that I'm a favorite person I met at TwitchCon last year. I'm Brandon's kind of up there, but I met him, and he's like that same vibe that you get from him online, you get from him like 10 times more in person. And like, he just blew up. Like, he was meant for this world. He was meant for Twitch. He was meant to be an entertainer. He was meant to be a people person, to be that type of person, to go out there and just have that influence on others. And he's fantastic.
To tell you about the names. I have something to tell you about the names, but after your point, go ahead.
So yeah. So whenever I see that he's got something good, I'll always, you know, comment, say happy. I like, I am. And I think, someone asked me, is all like, why do you, like, you don't really mean that. Yes, I do. Especially for people I know who definitely deserve it. If I know them and I know that, you know, they aren't putting up a front, that they aren't fake, that it's not just one giant show, this is who they genuinely are, I am like 1,000% stoked for them, because they deserve those good things, because they are great people. And he is one of them. And I will praise him up and down the streets or ever. And like, he...
Didn't he recently that he's with Twitch now?
Yeah, he works at Twitch now. He also got his Twitter verification. He's had this great streak. Somebody tried to bring me down. He's like, yeah, but you've been streaming a lot longer and you haven't gotten all those things. I'm like, well, it doesn't mean anything. I have not streamed really this much like this year at all. Last year I've been struggling and stuff personally. So really my mindset is not there to create content, to put stuff out. I'm skirting by. He has put in work. He has put in time. He has done a lot more to push himself to that. So he deserves it. It doesn't matter that I put in or I've been streaming for like 8-9 years. He has done all of this work. He is
right.
He's benefiting from it. He deserves it. It's not about me. It's not about, you know, what it is. He's putting in the work. He deserves it. I'm not. So what am I going to get? Nothing, right? Because I'm not putting that forward.
So yeah. So again, projection of attention, right? He was streaming pretty much every day or every other day. Like, his schedule was airtight. Like, every day or every other day I would see him on, you know, like streaming on Twitch and stuff like that. So the thing I wanted to share about the names. Couple of things, right? Oh man, couple of things. Okay. I am not going to mention anybody's name unless it's in a positive light, right?
Yeah, same.
If I have an issue with you and ought with you, anything that I have to say, I'll tell you on a call or a video chat call or something like that. You'll hear from me first before it starts circulating with passive aggressive statements or undertones on social media, right? Which is why I was like, wait. Oh, you know,
no.
Where are we going? I just want to make sure. And then the other thing about that too is the fact that my channel is currently being reviewed for YouTube partnership, right? So I'm like, do you talk about P's, Q's and dotting I's, crossing all that stuff, right? I'm like, my brain is in another space because I'm thinking about different pieces of content to create. On top of that, I've had requests in the comments of content that I should create that I think will bring value, that I'm highly considering two of them right now. So my brain is in a different space now, right? If someone has an issue with me or something like that. And
oh, we talking really have... in DMs or I'm calling you up. We got issues.
Yeah.
Whether it be you or anybody else, if I got a problem with you,
right,
in your
right,
DMs.
And you know, you check in and stuff like that. So that's the thing with the names. But no, as far as Ray goes, definitely a good dude. Love the guy. Always showed me love and stuff like that, and I appreciate that. So yeah, so the names, the undertones, the passive aggressive things, because you have a platform, I think is really, really dangerous. We have a responsibility with our voices, and I think that the ideal way, if it existed, would be everybody should be trained before they have this power of just speaking to the world, because not everybody's trained to speak to the world, right?
Where do you get that training from?
I'm just saying, like, media training of some sort, like, you know, there's something.
Professionalism?
Something, you know, kindness, empathy, something, right? Where individuals are really paying attention to what they're saying, because yeah, we're recording this on YouTube. Shout outs to you guys for checking it out, but the podcast is in the thousands, right? So I don't know where this is going to go once we finish talking about it. So which is why I'm very, 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 attentive. Wrong word probably in there. I'm very aware of what's happening and what we're saying, because it has ramifications and repercussions depending on where it ends up. So if we have issues, let's chat. If we don't have any issues, great. But if I have an issue with you, I'm talking to you.
Oh, I don't smack talk behind people's backs. I got problems. It's going to be to your face.
Right.
But I will, I don't feel like it's like name dropping. Like when I talk about Ray or talk about really any content creators, that I will openly like drop their names. But it's because I've met them too.
Right.
Like I'll go congratulate those that I want to build a relationship with. But like to be on a public thing that other people are going to listen to, I don't just say people's names so casually.
Right.
Like there's very easy. Like Ray Apollo is definitely one of them. Black Oni, definitely one of those guys.
Right.
DJ Knight, his wife, Epic Lala. Like I have no problems ever publicly saying their name in a good light. Always a good light, really. I met those people. I know their work ethics. I know where they aligned on things, where I feel like I align with them. So it's like, okay, I have no problems just sharing that with everybody, because I feel like everybody should know these people because they're fantastic.
Right.
That's where I'm at with this thing. So I think I put out a tweet like a few weeks back that I'm the type of person that if there's an opportunity that I might not fit into, but I know somebody that does, really quick, I'm going to hit that person up like, hey, I don't know what your availability is like, but this sounds like something that's right up your alley. You know, if it works out, oh, well, if it doesn't, it's a possibility. Maybe just check it out and look. I'm not forcing it upon them, but it's something that's like any opportunity that comes out. Because I want to help a friend out. And even if it does not apply to me, like I'm either tagging them or DMing them links, or you're just going to get messages from me.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. No, it's just important. Like, so even now, like, I was thinking this week and I was just sharing different things on social. What if, your last tweet was your last tweet, right? And it was mean and it was offensive.
Oh, no.
You know, no, I'm just saying, not you personally.
I couldn't do that.
I'm just saying, just like you got to think about that. Like if you're listening to this right now, just think about that. What if your last podcast or your last Twitch broadcast was your last one and you were mean and insensitive? Like people remember stuff like that. People remember how you make them feel, especially if it's bad, right? And I think that I'm reading, you know, YouTube comments. I'm reading, you know, the Twitter messages, and I'm really trying to be in a mind state of, you know, let me understand first before I attack, because we can easily attack, you know, a tweet, you know, but I'm just in a different mindset right now as it relates to just a content period, right? A lot of good things are happening right now. You know, my family's blessed, my family's safe. I'm happy about that. You know, same for your family. And it's like, I don't want negative energy from anybody, right? And I think that you can't necessarily control that, but what the things that you can control, try to control those things.
You get back what you put out. You can put out negativity, that's all you're going to ever get back. You can put out hate, that's all you're going to get back. And I think that's when it comes to like cancel cultures or just mobbing people for whatever mistakes that they make. I can be disappointed and upset about mistakes or things, people's actions, but I cannot, for me personally, I cannot imagine putting an energy into a DM, into a tweet, into an email about putting somebody down for whatever they did. Even if it was absolutely disgusting and whatever it is, it's unforgivable. I still can't. Like there, I'd rather spend my energy elsewhere. I don't want to put that down into paper or pen, because what does that solve for me? What does it solve for them? They're already getting it for so many other people. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm good.
Yeah. It's a big thing. It has ramifications. It has consequences. social consequences. It has consequences when you're trying to work with companies. You may not think it's a big deal, but it's a big deal. Okay, so Xbox boss Phil Spencer has teased the launch of streaming sticks for xCloud, as well as a new tier of Xbox Game Pass membership. Danielle, what's up with that?
I don't know. You tell me.
What? No, so I think that... So what I'm seeing right now as it relates to what Xbox is doing, I think it's absolutely phenomenal because they're really trying to be everywhere and it's easy for the individual on that platform to enjoy the Xbox ecosystem. So whether they did their own, you know, sticks for the xCloud or they ramped up more stuff for the Xbox Game Pass and stuff like that, I think all that stuff is amazing for Xbox and their vision, right? I have no issues and challenges with that. The only thing that we've said in past shows is that if you want to own the game, you have to buy it, right? Yeah. Having the subscription doesn't mean that you own the games on that platform, which that's my only issue with that. So aside from that, that's all I have there. So I just want to read this quote and then we can kind of like dissect it a little bit. So it says, I think you're going to see lower price hardware as part of our ecosystem when you think about streaming sticks and other things that somebody might want to just go plug. Okay, it's pretty much exactly what I said. You know what? To be fair, I didn't read that. So that's great. Okay, Phil, we're on the same wave right now. So that's how I feel about it. It's easy for anybody to just, you know, come in, whether you're doing the Android or, you know, whatever your mobile device is and you're doing the console, you want to do it or not. And you just want to do it like through the browsers. I love the fact that they're doing that for them and it's working for them. Thoughts on that?
I think it's just smart. Everything that they're doing for the Xbox, like the subscription services, Game Pass, it's just smart. I like the idea that if you want to get a demo, try it on the cloud. Don't have to download it. Just go and try the demo and see if you like it before you commit to it, because we all know that downloading stuff takes forever, unless you have fiber, which a lot of people don't. But I really, really think for these first couple of years in this next gen, Xbox is definitely going to be leading. If this is a competition about who had the better launch, I think we can all agree that PS4 had the better launch when it came out for this current gen. I think just Xbox, literally everything from what they're offering for online, for their subscription services, to how they're offering their consoles, to even their marketing of memes, it's been spot on. They learn from their mistakes, they're capitalizing on it, and then they're just making it 1,000 times better. That's my take on it. So it's just, they're doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
To be that popular console for this holiday season.
It's all good. And on the other side of things, the PlayStation, they're doing what they have to do to streamline things, right? So they recently announced that they have the new PlayStation app, right? So a couple of things on that. Updated user interface, messages integration, voice chat, and party groups. They have natively integrated PlayStation Store and remote downloads. And another thing, too, that's interesting is when I actually visited the store at PlayStation.com and I was trying to decide if I want to buy Spider-Man or not last night with my hand hovering the add to cart. And I'm like, man, I want to play Spider-Man right now, but in a couple of weeks, Miles is coming out. So I can't justify why I should buy it and why I shouldn't buy it at the same time. But the fact that from the Xbox side, as we just mentioned, they're doing their thing to make sure that their ecosystem is appealing to everyone, and anything that was separate and the PlayStation 4 days that they're integrating to make it more seamless for their platform, I think it's a beautiful thing on both sides. Thoughts?
Yeah, but PlayStation subscription services is not on that level that Xbox is. And I think that is a huge selling point. I mean, yes, it comes down to what console you're going to get. But right now, I think a lot more people are attracted to what Xbox is offering on their Game Pass than PlayStation could ever do. Like, it's cool. You're getting like this revamped app on there. But what does that really do for the consumer? What is that really offering them other than, oh, okay, I can get the store all in one now. That's cool.
So I'll answer that real quick, and then let's build on this a little bit more.
Okay.
What does that do for the consumer? I think one of the things that it does for the consumer right away, especially the individual who has been on the PlayStation 4 platform, it's less friction for them to access the things that they've been accessing in the past and the things that they're going to access in the future for PlayStation 5. So whatever that bridge was, if there was any, now it's a little bit less of a friction to access those things. I definitely agree with you as it relates to what Xbox is offering versus what PlayStation is offering. So let's build on that a little bit. Now, what is appealing right now about the PlayStation subscription? Like, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
Yeah, there's not... Okay. There's really not much to like about it. If I have to think about what Xbox has and what PlayStation has, there isn't much to like other than I kind of need it if I want to play games online. Yeah, they have a couple free games every month, but like, and they have their games kind of discounted, but that is next to nothing compared to the library that Xbox offers. And that's a huge thing. I mean, okay, so their app, it makes them more streamlined. It bridges this gap in between, making it seamless for PS4 and PS5 users. But we want the games. That's why that's almost how Microsoft kind of thought it was important that they're going to turn their Xbox One into like this TV entertainment. Here's all these streaming services on your console because we think that's important to you. And it really wasn't. People didn't care for that. It was a little bit of a letdown. It was ridiculous. And people trying to push to justify why it's so cool. I don't really know anybody who really used it, but the way Xbox wanted to market it for the Xbox One. So for what PlayStation 5 is doing for this one, that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's nice, but it's not important in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, I kind of have the subscription services just simply because, well, kind of need it to play online.
Right. So full disclosure, I have neither one right now.
Okay.
I don't have Xbox. I don't have PlayStation. And I just want some of their games, like God of War. Okay, so I even went as far as going to Amazon and seeing how much Spider-Man was on Amazon. I think it was like $25 versus the $39.99 that it is in the PlayStation store right now. So I'm like, I was fighting. There was a hard fight last night going on at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out what I wanted. But final thoughts on that?
I mean, the app looks nice. That's a cool integration. But for me, it's not happening. And this is coming from somebody who is choosing to buy the PS5 over the Xbox Series X for launch.
Because?
So... it's just because I like this console more. What if you're going to ask me why I like it more? It's just that, and I explained it numerous times, and why I'm sticking with it is obviously as a gamer, as a techie nerd, I always want the latest and greatest of whatever is going to be coming out. So yes, I want that one. I didn't go with the Xbox Series X because, and it's this is what I like their marketing, and this is why I like their service right now, because of their Game Pass. Majority of the library of the Xbox games I want to play is going to be available on PC, and I can play it on my PC. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to save myself the $400 or whatever and just play the games on PC, maintain my subscription to them, and get the Xbox at a later time, like a year from now. But I cannot do that for PlayStation games because they almost have their games almost exclusively to them that I can't get it. I can't get on my PC. So that's why I'm going to get it.
Until they expand that a little bit more, right?
Yeah, and which I hope they do. And I hope that it gets to that point where I don't have to wait a year for them to make their exclusive titles available on Steam, like a year later. So that is my driving point by why I'm picking it up. It's not because I feel that what their subscription services is going to be better. To me, we are going to have an Xbox Series X, but it will be my boyfriend's. And yes, their hardware that they put out, I feel is pretty comparable. But until I have it for myself physically in front of me. Like I can watch all the different unboxing videos and everything like that. And it's great to see and it gives me a good idea, but you do not have your true first impressions until you have it in your hands and you can experience it yourself. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So either way, we're still going to have it, but the PlayStation 5 will be mine. And that's the one I'm sticking with. And I'm still happy with that decision simply because I think that covers having that plus the Game Pass service from Xbox pretty much covers my base for literally every game.
Okay. Dope. Some numbers here while we're talking about the Xbox and the PlayStation stuff. The latest round of financial figures from Xbox or Microsoft and Sony paint a healthy picture of both business stuff for them. Sony recorded a rise in PlayStation revenue of 12% in the last financial quarter, up to $4.990 billion, right? Fueled by game sales and PlayStation Plus subscriptions. 9 million more people now subscribe to PlayStation Plus than at this point last year, up to 45.9 million overall. Digital games now make up 59% of PlayStation sales, up from 55%. Okay, so are you surprised by these numbers at all? The fact that
No, I'm not.
PlayStation doing the thing. So Xbox, Microsoft gaming division revenue grew 22% up to $3.09 billion. And they're both profitable. They're doing their thing.
I would assume that Xbox would be having like a little bit higher numbers, but we'll see. We'll see after like come January.
We'll see. Hey, we got time.
Yeah, we got time.
We got time to add a couple more billions in there. A little bit more. This game, I'm not going to play it, but I'm excited for what it's going to do for individuals who love games like this. Haven, the romantic space adventure from the game Bakers, December 3rd. Thoughts on that?
Wait, I think I missed this note. I don't know anything about this game. Oh, wait, it's
You've seen this one.
Yes, I have seen this one.
A couple.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is that already coming out? Oh my God.
It's soon, yeah.
See, I'm finding this out for the first time. I have not been keeping up with it, but you know what? There's a lot of games that are releasing or have released that I didn't realize came out or came up so soon.
That's what we do here. We give news.
The time portal that is 2020, like all concept of time is just lost.
Yeah.
I want to play it, but it's not a day one thing for me.
It looks good, though. It looks really good.
December 3rd. I got time.
It looks like a nice adventure if you're into that kind of experience.
I'm sorry, but you're coming out in December, though.
Not good, right? Not good if there's other games launching in December.
I got Nightwire City over here to go and explore. I got things and modifications to do. I can't be floating around with my digital boyfriend.
No, why not? It should be fun.
I got limbs to replace. I got things to shoot up. I got cars to drive.
True.
I ain't got time for this.
True. Okay. So
there's no love in Nightwire. Or Night City. I mean, sorry, not Nightwire. Night City. There isn't. I can't be doing this.
So you're not gonna do it.
Maybe later. Not initially, to be honest, because it's also gonna be available on Steam. I thought when you were bringing it up that it really came out. I'm like, already? So soon.
Close. No,
but December 3rd. I will probably pick it up on a Steam sale prior to summer, next summer or next holiday. Just hold off on it. I just got priorities here, okay?
Yeah, you do. So there's that. Psychological horror Visage is finally leaving PC early access. Thoughts on that?
I wish I could play it in first person, but it looks really cool, and I'm going to try to see if I can convince my boyfriend to play it.
There's a lot of good stuff coming out. Developer Giant Enemy Crabs Due Process, a tactical FPS where tactics finally matter, is now available in Steam Early Access. That looks good. And for me, the only thing that was a concern is, like most things, let me just make sure this is muted so we don't have any issues with YouTube. YouTube, much love. So The only thing for me with this particular title is the fact that the first thing I look for when I'm on a Steam page for any game is if it has controller support or full controller support. And this doesn't look like it has any controller support. So as much as the maps are, I think it says procedurally generated, it's not the same map every time or whatever.
Yeah, I think it changes every week.
I think that's pretty dope. Definitely, you know, a super tactical game. If you're looking for something different, if you're a keyboard and mouse, this is right in your bag, and it looks good. And I think there's a discount right now. It's on sale. I think it's marked down 25%. Yeah, minus 25. So, due process. Definitely check that out. Procedurally generated, as it just flashed on the screen. So, I hope that that's really my hope for most of these games, is that they consider doing full control support if they can in the near future. So looks dope though. I dig it.
Yeah, there's nothing that shows that they're going to have any controller support, or at least anytime soon. Actually, before we even started the show, there's something I was like trying to grill and trying to like figure out the correct words to Google. Okay. I've talked about this like way before on our show. And I knew the name of the site then, and I cannot for the life of me remember this site now. So in due process, there's the planning stage where basically you have an overhead view of the map, and you can create a tactical plan with your teammates about how they're going to approach, what they're going to do, and everybody's objectives. Back during Gears 3 days, so around 2011, 2012, there was actually a website. I cannot remember the name of it, and I couldn't get a hold of the people that would probably remember the name of it. But there was a website that kind of had like natively on it. It had overhead views of different maps of the popular shooters that were popular in that time. So what people were doing who were running scrims is that they would plan. You know, you'd have like Gears 3 map there. You have all these whatever it may be for multiplayer or PvP. You know, plans, approaches, and everything like that. And that's what that reminded me of in due process, is something very, very similar, except it wasn't integrated into the game itself. So back then, we'd just be like, we'll have it up there. We'll have like a group chat. This is during Justin TV days. It's the entire reason why, you know, any of us streamed or even had that there was because of the site. And you would think I'd remember it. But that was like the entire thing, is to plan and strategize and to have like this layout of this map here for whatever game we're playing, Gears 3, and plan those things out. So I think it's really cool that due process integrates that. It's definitely a different approach. I'm not going to personally play it because it's just like, I'm just not in that mode to play shooters nearly as much. Like I just kind of got into that mode where I don't want to play shooters. I'll get back to it eventually, but right now, this era of DJ, no shooters. Right. No. But watching the trailer though, I get a very like a CSGO, but a little bit more Rainbow Six Siege without like having the operators different classes. Absolutely. And stuff like that. So I very much get that with like having to be precise as, you know, CSGO. So I thought that was really cool. It just looked like a very plain, and not saying that it's bad that it's plain, but it's a very simple way of introduction into either Rainbow Six Siege or CSGO, but very, very tactically planned, because you know, like you're not the only teammate or the only team that's planning it. The other side is also planning their plan of attack over there. And I think that could be a possibility as to why it does not have controller support, because trying to do what they're doing on that planning stage with a controller will not be nearly as quick if you had your mouse. And because that is timed, I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair enough reason to completely remove controller support, but yeah, there's no way. If somebody's like sick with that, like you got to be super quick to like draw out what you're doing. I find it very interesting that while you're playing, that it leaves the markers down as to where you planned and what you guys are going to be doing.
Right.
But, yeah, it seems really cool.
So you could do it kind of like Destiny does it, or any game like that, where you can, use your mouse and keyboard if you want to, or you can quickly switch to the controller. Like, I like the fact that you can actually do both. Now, even with Genshin Impact, which is kind of off topic a little bit as we're talking about due process, but you can switch to the controller or you can use keyboard and mouse, but some games allow it to be a fluid experience. And I think that's pretty neat if you're able to do that with some of these titles.
It'd be nice, but it's also an early access game, so it's not the finalized, so it doesn't mean that it's not going to be in there when the final version comes out. It could be a time constraint thing. Who knows? Could be available later.
I like it. I like what I saw. Like, I would actually check this out, but I would die a lot right now if I do. So I don't know if we want to do that right now, but it looks really, really good. Final thoughts on it?
No, that was kind of it. I just wish I could remember the name of that site. Trying to go back and like memory from 8-9 years ago here.
Do you think it's still up?
No.
The site? No?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay, so we got Call of Duty stuff. Let's talk about a little bit of Call of Duty. Over 300 million individuals have downloaded Call of Duty Mobile. Activision has announced the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War beta was the most downloaded in franchise history. They also added, thoughts on those things? Surprise?
They went crazy. I'm not really surprised, especially for the mobile version. Yeah. I don't think it's nearly as popular stateside as it is in the East. Because let me tell you, Facebook Gaming, a lot of people give Facebook Gaming a lot of crap for their streaming service. But in like the East, to our brothers and sisters and over the seas, streaming is incredibly popular over there. And the games that they stream are mostly mobile games. So mobile games like COD and PUBG do surprisingly well on Facebook Gaming.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of them that play.
That's very interesting.
Really, I'm not surprised.
So quick thing about Facebook Gaming, I believe I saw it. They added gifted
subs.
Yeah.
Yeah. For our partners, it is available now for them to have gifted subs. They're working on it. They got their own little built-in bot now too. They are definitely very strict on not having like third-party API access where people develop their own bots and whatnots. I hope that changes at some point, but they just kind of building from the scratch up and developing it on their own.
So they're still closed to that stuff.
Yeah, like you can't really use like a Streamlabs chatbot.
Gotcha.
In your stream to trigger off commands or stuff like that. You can use it for your alerts, but that's as far it goes. Oh, it's only on mobile. So the gifted subs is only on mobile, not on the website yet.
Gotcha.
Well, that's tricky because subscriptions cost more on mobile. Mm. Well, that's dirty.
Dirty. Next thing I definitely want to mention here is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War launch trailer. So every year, Daniela, every year I get excited for Call of Duty, right? Every year. And why? Because the ability to be involved in such high anxiety interactions on this game doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. So they recently released the trailer for Call of Duty, and I am hyped again. Okay. And there's another thing I'm hyped about. We'll talk about that later on, but I'm hyped again. It's like, I don't know what it is. Every November or every September, a company comes out with a game, whether it's Infinity or whoever, the Sledgehammer, whoever those guys are now. There's so many different groups. Or the Bungie folks, and they just get me every single time, Daniela. I know you're not shooting anything right now, but it looks amazing, and I'm excited.
The trailers always look cool, but I don't know. So, I dived and tucked and rolled away from the COD train like
you tucked and rolled
years ago. So for me, the excitement is just it's just not there. It hasn't been there for at least like 7 years.
I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do. My only concern is this, right? When it comes to, especially games like, you know, Call of Duty, is the hitboxes, right? If I'm hitting the guy and I know I'm hitting the guy with bullets, digital bullets, right? I hope it's damaging the guy so the guy can, you know, die and respawn, right? I don't remember which Call of Duty it was. It may have been Black Ops. The first Black Ops, I was not necessarily a fan of. I think that's the only one I was just like, I'll pass on that. But all the other Call of Duties after that, even the one that they introduced the dog, whichever one that was, I'm looking at the Call of Duties right now.
I don't even remember.
Yeah. Even the one that they introduced the dog. Advanced Warfare was okay. But even the one that they introduced the dog, I was like, that was cool. You know, you got a little dog with you. You got man's, you know, best friend or whatever. It was all right. And I think that a lot of individuals were upset because once you start going too spacey with Call of Duty, no pun intended, that some individuals are turned off, right? But it is what it is. I'm excited. I'm hyped again. They got me. It's Call of Duty. And I know Danielle is taking a sabbatical right now. So that's all I got on it. But I'm pretty pumped about it. So that's what I got for COD. Next thing is all you. Assassin's Creed, Daniela, getting a live action Netflix series. Thoughts on that?
I'm excited. That's really cool. I don't know what direction they're taking, but like Netflix, again, they make really good shows, but they also have the worst timing of canceling really good shows. So it's like, I'm excited, but I'm like, please just don't prematurely, if it's really good, please don't cancel it. Let's let it run its course and have a conclusion. Please have a conclusion and closure on stuff. That's now, all I'm asking
movie, right?
for.
A couple of years ago?
Funny enough, I haven't watched that.
Okay.
I
Any reason? Why?
I don't know. No reason.
Okay.
I don't think it really sparked my interest, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I think when I saw the trailer, I was like, maybe.
No, not at all, huh?
Well, not yet.
Well, I hope that they do a great job with this.
Most of their stuff is good. Most of Netflix's stuff is good. And I think that's why it interests me. The movie did not look like it was going to be good.
But you didn't check it out yet.
There's just some movies where you can tell it's not going to look good, like that Monster Hunter one or the last three Resident Evils.
I'm actually going to give it a chance. I'm actually going to give the Monster Hunter a chance. Resident Evils, sure. You know, if it doesn't have jump scares, even better. Okay. And I think that you should check it out. At least
I will eventually if I really want.
So here's the question. Did they say that movie has any tie-in or is completely different than what they're offering here? I don't remember
about the Assassin's Creed movie. I know they had an animated movie, I think.
Yeah.
And that was good. But the live action one, I don't remember if there was a tie-in.
Okay. That's no problem. No problem. It looks good, though. It looks good what they showed there. Anything that you got that caught your attention from Nintendo Direct? I know that took place, right? I didn't see anything like super.
I mean, there's something like cool, like having control, but nothing like really like
stuck
out at me. Just like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Other than control. Control's on there, but I haven't even personally played Control yet myself. But yeah, other than that, like nothing, like they did a couple of small things like Bravely Default 2, which, you know, that's going to be coming out February now. But nothing big.
Nothing stuck out, right? So it says, part of the stuff here, also available today are Nintendo Switch versions of No More Heroes 1 and 2 ahead of the third game's launch next year. And a part of HAL Labs mobile game, Part-Time UFO. Also available today, a demo version of Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. It contains the main game's first chapter, and you'll be able to carry over your progress to the full game. Nothing like, right?
Yeah, nothing really. I mean, I think the closest thing that something that really kind of interests me is Story of Seasons, which is pretty much like a Harvest Moon. Yeah, that's kind of it, really, for me personally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was supposed to be like a mini, so it's not supposed to be like big, big.
So
some good stuff, but like nothing that got me hyped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So one game. Oh, it's not even a game. One trailer that won the hearts of many. The trailer that went backwards for the zombie game.
Dead Island.
Dead Island, right? So outside of, I think those two are the most, for me right now, memorable trailers. So when I did get a chance or opportunity to see Detroit Become Human, I think that they did an amazing job with the game and the characters and also the thread of the decision making that you had to do in the game was absolutely amazing. So they recently announced that they're doing a PC a limited edition. I think they're only going to do 2,500 for this series. Daniela, you did not purchase it, right? You did
not. No, because I can't justify spending $350 right now, even though that statue looks amazing.
Right?
I can't. I already spent too much money. I think I met my quota for this year, which happened to be Final Fantasy VII and Cyberpunk 2077. I don't think I'm allowed to make another big collector's edition purchase this year.
Yeah, I loved watching this game. I really
did. Why don't you want to play it? I think I love just making the decisions and then seeing what other people made.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like when games, I realize one thing for me specifically when it comes to really great movies, I get very, very impacted by the decisions that are happening on the screen. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch a lot of those movies because of how invested I get when the movie is really, really good. And I realized that early on, whether it's a really good Denzel movie or whoever it may be, I really, really get invested into the movie, right? So when I saw a game like this, Detroit Become Human, and I started, you know, checking out the demo and different things like that when they had the demo out and all that. It's just one of those games where you get invested and you fall in love with the characters, and whether it's, you know, it's a good thing for them or a bad thing for them, depending on their journey, it really affects you. And I think that I try not to play too many games like that or watch too many movies like that, but I love what it represents. I really enjoyed what I saw and experienced myself, but I don't know if I can do that for a lot of games. It's
I think that's my favorite part about most of those types of games is that because you get so invested in the story and you definitely get much more invested into it based off of the decisions that you can make. A1.
Yeah, it's tough for me. And I realized that because I have this, it's not an association thing necessarily, like that emotional commitment I don't want in everything, you know, maybe to some degree, yes, but not all the time if I don't have to have it. And so I realized that about myself, and I unplug from people and things depending on what the situation is.
There is a game that follows kind of similar to it. It's not as deep and in depth as Detroit Become Human, but Little Hope, which is from the Dark Pictures anthology, actually releases, I think it's on the 30th, so in a couple days, which if you played Until Dawn or Man of Medan, where it's basically you get to make those life and death choices. Yeah,
I like that one. That one looks good,
I like that, so I want to play that. That comes out in a little bit. It has a multiplayer or a co-op feature into it where you can play with up to 5 people, or I'm like, how does that play into it?
Right.
I want to see what that's like, but I like those. And seeing the choice makings and seeing what happens. It's always interesting to me. I like those point and click adventures.
It's tough,
things.
Man.
Good.
Tough, especially if the character that you really love dies. That's tough.
Yeah. When I played Man of Medan, everybody like, oh, I really like this character. I'm going to save him. And then next thing you know, I kill him. Like, I didn't mean to. But like, because it's like first playthrough, I never go back and reset it. I just like, right. I just accept it. This is the fate. It was just, that's your fate. This is what meant to be. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's tough. That's the tough part. So there's that. Looks good. Of course, Detroit Become Human. Amazing game. Definitely check it out if you can. Next thing, we talked about this earlier when we just, you know, we're gearing up to start the show. Gears 5, I think, is one of the most underrated games right now for Gears, right?
What? Somebody's going to have to revoke my Gears card, my Gears fan card.
Right. You're a Gears person.
I am and I'm not. I'm terrible. Right. I am terrible. Somebody come and revoke my fan card. I will just leave it at my doorstep because I probably don't deserve it at this point. I have not gotten further than 2 hours into Gears 5.
It's an amazing game.
I don't doubt it's an amazing game, but like I said, I'm like in this point where I just don't want to play shooters, and that's where I'm at. I'm like, I want to do the story. I want to find out, but there's just something about. I don't know what it is about shooters right now, but I have to be in that mode and I have not been. I kind of just want to play puzzles. Just let me do some puzzles here. I don't really want to shoot anything, which is terrible of me because Gears is a good series.
It is.
Judgment never happened, but Gears is a good series.
The thing that plagued it though in the beginning, especially Gears 5, is it had a lot of bugs in the beginning when it launched. And I think that turned a lot of folks off. But if you go to Gears now, it's an amazing game.
It's had a lot of updates since then.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things with Gears. The Gears 5 will let you recast Marcus Fenix as Dave Bautista in a campaign. That's the first bit of news. The next thing is Gears 5 story DLC coming in December. I'm going to ask, any thoughts on this, Danielle? You just gave me your thoughts since you want
to get your card revoked. I'm a terrible Gears human right now.
Huh?
I'm a terrible Gears human. I shouldn't call myself that.
So I'm not going to ask you to elaborate on your Gears feelings because you already gave me the bit on that. But all I'm going to say here is that if you haven't played Gears 5 and you have the opportunity, please check it out. It's an amazing game. And of course, you have the game... Outriders from People Can Fly. That was pushed to next year, from what I understand. And that's a Gear-esque game, kind of like a Destiny / Gears of War had a baby, if you will. And that's what you get. You get People Can Fly's Outriders, and it looks amazing too. And I want to check that out because, you know, you got weapons, you got different drops and stuff like that you can get in that game. That looks really, really good. So that's it on Gears 5 and news on that. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness will be a canon addition to Capcom's survival horror saga. Danielle, what's up with that?
I'm excited for that.
Okay.
I like the reboot that they're doing of the movies. I like the TV series that they're coming out with. I love that the fact that we have 8 coming out next year. There's just a lot. I thought I knew the date for 8. I don't think I know the date of 8 off the top of my head right now. But no, I'm really excited about that. I wish Leon could have different hair. Like, I feel like his hairstyle is so dated at this point.
Mm.
But no, that's such a minor thing in the bigger scheme of it. And like the fact that this is going to be, I guess, canon to what's like going on. Which just means that it's adding on to the story that's important for you to know that they all play in together is beautiful.
Okay. So 8 is Village, correct?
Yes.
So 2021, no date.
Yeah. See, next year.
Yeah.
So like, I thought I had a date for that. 2021, next year, yeah. Sometime there.
Yeah. That looks scary too. That's the news on that. Super Mario 3D All-Stars is getting a much requested update next month to add in the option for inverted camera controls. I guess that's something that individuals really wanted to check out on that. Any thoughts on that?
I think inverted controls are just, I think those players are evil. But anyways, this is for camera. I guess, sure, cool. I haven't played a Mario game in forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, I can't, I'm trying to remember, but I can't. Inverted camera controls. I mean, I guess if it was something that was requested, they are obviously putting it in because people are wondering like where it is. But if some reason that you are playing, like legit playing on inverted controls, Mario, I think you're evil. like people who automatically, when they play any game, that the first thing that they do is invert their controls.
Yeah.
I don't even know you anymore.
That's weird.
And I don't like it. It blows my mind. There's a friend of my boyfriend's, really cool dude, really cool dude. He's got some like jokes about it. And he's, his name is Filthy Rich. He plays inverted. And I was like, oh, my Filipino brethren over here plays inverted.
It's weird.
How can you? Because I remember I was jumping on. He used to work at Amazon's, and I remember like when I was jumping on their computers to play, it was like set in inverted, and I'm like, who in the world in this studio is playing inverted? And then I find out like he's one of them. I'm like, why?
It's weird. I flight sticks, yes.
Flight sticks, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Everything else does not make sense to me. Yeah. But I don't know about cameras. If it's camera controls. Camera controls, like that's something that's kind of foreign to me. Like I'm having a hard time processing that. So if it makes sense for people and there's a feature that's missing, okay, great. But if you're playing like your standard game inverted, I like my brain doesn't comprehend. I'm sorry. Make fun of me for not being a smart enough person to just like be able to comprehend those controls. Flight simulators, totally cool. I get it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Sticks, yes.
Anything else? Don't touch my controllers. Don't touch my settings.
Yeah, that's
I don't trust
you. Special person that does that. So you have that. Halo Infinite director and longtime 343 Industries exec Chris Lee has left the project. Apparently, it's a troubled project, according to a new Bloomberg report. Now, another game that's supposed to be huge for Microsoft. Challenges ahead. Thoughts on that?
They're having a rough time over there, which I'm never going to say that I'm a Halo fan. I don't dislike the game, but I've never ever gotten into the series like everybody else did. But there are some people who have some really like they're hyped for it. They had some expectations for it. But I feel like this game has been plagued with some kind of like some bad luck.
Yeah. Well, what is going on over there?
But
no, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like. Having that faith in it, like how many exchanges of titles or losing employees or key personnel do you go through where you start questioning, like, okay, what's the quality of this game going to be? Where are we at? Especially like this was originally supposed to be one of the launch day titles, right? And it was delayed. That's pretty big. That's a big hit for Microsoft. It's a big hit for 343. So. That's rough. That's where I'm coming. That's all I got for it is that's some scary stuff coming up for to be able to have that if you're a fan to have faith in it.
Yeah, it's just weird. It says I've stepped back from Infinite and I am looking at future opportunities. I believe in the team and I'm confident they will deliver a great game. And now is a good time for me to step away. That's what was said there. I love Halo. I love the direction that they're taking Infinite. I am concerned that I have some concerns, but I think that they will end up delivering a very, very good game when it comes to Halo. They cannot afford to mess up Halo Infinite. It is a flagship of flagships. It has inspired so many different individuals to make their own games, right? This is the game that has changed lives. Babies have been born, okay? Marriages have gone forth, right? A whole bunch of stuff has happened since Halo has been out. Which one? 5 was probably the worst ones for a lot of individuals. They didn't like Halo 5 Guardians, right? So you can't mess this one up. This is... This, you can't mess this one up. Critical. Super critical. See, even a moment of silence for it we had just now.
There's no works. There really isn't. Like, what are you going to do? You have to.
But we need to have words for this guy. Google Stadia's guy. This guy. We need to have a word about this guy. What was going on with this guy, Daniela?
Okay, so this is kind of following off of like the entire, like, what is it, third, fourth, I don't know, wave of DMCA stuff that's going on with Twitch.
What was wrong with this guy?
We can play devil's advocate on this one.
We can? Okay.
Yeah, we can.
All right.
Okay, so the unpopular, let's go with the unpopular opinion about his statement here.
Let's read it first.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to read it or you want to read it?
Go ahead, Daniela.
All right, Alex Hutchinson. Streamers worried about getting their content pulled because they use music they didn't pay for should be more worried by the fact that they're streaming games that they didn't pay for as well. It's all gone as soon as publishers decide to enforce it. The real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream, and they should be buying a license like any real business and paying for the content they use. So that guy got a lot of hate, especially during this whole DMCA thing. And then he was really super quick to change his title and his profile on Twitter because he was very closely tied to Stadia, but he doesn't really work on Stadia's project.
Interesting.
He doesn't. Like, he's very super quick. He's a creative director at a Montreal studio for the games, not for Stadia itself.
Interesting.
So he's very quick to do that because I'm pretty sure Stadia is already having a rough enough time being popular and wanting people to have their service. So to have this guy come in and say this is more damaging to them, where they're already trying to just like make things happen. But I mean, at least Stadia has lasted longer than Quibi. But so the unpopular opinion is that technically, I believe that developers and publishers could do this if they wanted to.
Okay.
Could. Does not mean that they will or they should, but they could. Because when you buy a game, you're buying it for personal use. That is for you. Even when you rent a game, for personal use for you. It's the same thing when you buy a movie. It is for personal use, not for you to, I bought this movie, I can stream it online to everybody to see all I want. No. Video games are the same exact way. So I understand it from that point of view. But will a developer and publisher do that? No. No. They will be shooting themselves in the foot if they ever did that. Streamers and content creators right now is the number one driving force for their sales and interest in their games. They can market, they can have all the commercials, they can have all of these press releases, they can do all of these things for their games. But nothing is more successful than finding that right content creator with that right influence to market your game and get it out there. Case in point, for the two most popular games right now, Among Us and Fall Guys. Among Us was like on the verge, like it was out for 2 years already. It was on the verge of like, okay, we're just going to give up because we're not getting, you know, we're not getting the revenue. We're not making it. You have, I believe, the first streamer who was CDN the third. Like, well, okay, he wasn't I don't feel he was technically the first streamer that streamed the game, possibly, but he was the first big influencer that did. And then he has all his other friends who are really big influencers who jumped into the game. And then it was this huge, phenomenal thing that happened. And that was 2 years after the game came out. If it was not for that streamer, for CDN the third, for Dr. Lupo, for any of them to play this game, this studio probably would have shut them down by like the end of the year.
And the game is like $4.99, isn't it? Or something like that?
Yeah, it's like $5.
Insane.
Huge for them. Fall Guys too. Fall Guys have like so many content creators that are like jumping on to buy the game, like everything inside their skin packs and everything like that. The battle pass, all of that stuff. Content creators. Majority of the games that people are interested in, like they'll see a trailer. Oh, that looks cool. They'll see like whatever scripted 15 minutes of gameplay. That looks cool. But when they see an action of somebody else playing it and doing their things or playing how they would play it to get a real feel of the game, oh, that looks fun. You're enjoying yourself. That makes me want to play it. So there's no way that a developer and publisher would ever enact this. But there is truth to his statement.
So here's my issue, okay? When it comes to stuff like this or any other tweet that makes its rounds on, you know, podcasts, video shows or whatever, what would possess you to say something like that during such a interesting time for the Google Stadia platform? Why even do it? That's my thing. It's one thing to know what's happening behind the scenes, be associated with a particular company, publisher, or whatever the case might be. But why even do this? You know what I mean? That's my thing. So it's like, okay, you say this, you get a whole bunch of heat from it. You make adjustments to your profile. And my thing is like, you know, when it comes to attention, it seems like whether it's good or bad, some individuals do not care, even if they're making a point that can be, you know, polarizing, right? We'll say that, right? Sometimes you could be right, you know, and sometimes you could be wrong, right? But why even go to the extent to post the thoughts on social without even like you, did you read that before you posted? Like, you know, even now, like when I'm drafting stuff and I don't know if you do this, I'll read the thing a couple of times and be like, when this goes out, okay, what is it going to do when it goes out? Right. So then I have to make sure that it's not personalized. It doesn't sound like a subtweet. It's promoting goodness to everybody, right? So, and I think that when it comes to things like this or any other tweet or people talking crazy on podcasts or people talking crazy on video shows and stuff like that, what's happening to get there? So I know that's a tough question to answer. And maybe that's just something that to think about. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, you should have read this a couple of times. You should have bounced it off somebody. And I think that that's the challenge, right? There is no training for this. And even if there is, when your pride gets in the way, you post craziness like this, like you said, there may be some truth there. But nobody would do that because the advertising and the marketing for their game would be cut so short, right?
Yeah.
To nothing, basically. So when you're getting a game from a company now, especially during this time, November into next year, they want you to stream their stuff because they know the value in that, like you mentioned. So the mindset for that, to post stuff like that, it's so dangerous. And what happens, right? So depending on your status on social, it's either going to affect you or boost you up, right?
Yeah.
So now, I didn't know this guy until this.
Me neither.
Did you know him?
Nope.
Nobody that I know knew him until this went out, right? And I think that that's the danger with social. Yes, you have the ability to say whatever you want. Yes, it's your account. Yes, you own, quote unquote, the names to those accounts and the authentication to access them. But that doesn't mean that you have to say everything that's on your mind. And that's the danger.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I take it as, and I read it as, is that he wasn't implying it to be something that's going to be happening or that even for him is going to be, you know, acting upon to do. I think he was just giving another example or hypothetical. That's the way I took it. I mean, there's so many different angles that you can approach that with. And a lot of people just took it as like, this is what's going to happen. And this guy's trying to say, this is what the publishers and developers are going to do. And they just like, really super jumped on him. Was it smart for him to say no? Obviously not. But I mean, it's kind of like your little corner. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot worse things that are said that people believe wholeheartedly and find truth behind and act upon it. And that is their life that they say. And there's no way that you can change their mind.
Right.
That puts stuff out. And you know what? You know what I'm going to put on a positive turn on top of that? The things that people think is really great and they think that they're doing the public a service to bring happiness and joy to them is Kim Kardashian. Have you seen the internet troll her for her tweet for her 40th birthday or whatever it was?
The private island thing? I thought that was dope.
Yeah. You thought it was dope that she's like, after 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, listen, I surprised my closest inner friends with a trip to a private island where we can pretend things are normal just for a brief moment in time. Okay, you self-privileged person.
Listen, okay. The woman has built companies, okay? She has done her due diligence in business, okay? She has the money to do these things. And whether you feel it's a thing like keeping up with the Kardashians or not, I don't know. But here's my thing with that, right? It was a big deal for her. It was a birthday. Nobody can rent out private islands. I get it, right? I don't know how many friends were there. It was like 40 or 50 at least, maybe, give or take, right?
Sure.
That's an awesome that's an awesome thing to do. I'm not saying that, you know, how people received it was wrong. All I'm saying is, hey, that's dope. Happy birthday, Kim Kardashian, okay? That's me. Like, I think that's where I'm at, right? Because here's the thing, going back to the conversation we're having earlier. If I was having a conversation with her and we had some friendship, whether it's removed or not, right? I would not want to blast her on social media because she's my friend, right? I would want to have a conversation about, and that's how I'm thinking about it. If I'm sitting across the table from her, then we would have a conversation. Why did you decide to do it this way, right? Because I am more concerned about the motive than how people received the stuff, right? Sometimes you can get the motive based on how much people talk about it, but there wasn't much to see in terms of conversation because all you saw was the pictures, right? And maybe some copy, right, with the pictures. But nobody knows what went into that. And I think that I'm a little bit more sensitive to it right now because I saw her interview on David Letterman, right?
Oh, I didn't watch that yet.
Right. She's gone through a lot of stuff, right? So I think that is kind of coloring my what I'm saying right now, right? Because I watched that, right? So even the thing with Paris Hilton, right? So if people were coming at her for something on social media right now, because I watch a documentary, I'm seeing a different lens on into how she's being perceived, right? So the data is a little bit different. But even, you know, I try to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm not always great at it. But listen, happy birthday, all right? Do your thing, live it up, right? And I think some people are going to be mad because they're not there and they're not making that kind of money. Some people are going to be, they're going to have issues with that. They're going to have challenges with that. So let's put it on a different scale, right? Depending on your partnerships and the companies that you work with, whether you're enjoying that those wins or not, somebody's going to have an issue with that. Well, why is Astro working with her, right? Why is this company, that company working with her, right? There's always going to be, so the scale is different, but there's always going to be an issue with something that you're trying to enjoy. And I look at it the same way. She's trying to enjoy, you know, the private island, right? For her birthday. And
she's on a whole other different scale that I'm just not even looking at.
That's what I'm saying. So from a human standpoint, right? And I think that sometimes that's what happens. We forget that you and I are human beings. We get affected to some degree by the YouTube comments, by the talks on social media, by things that are said behind our backs if or when it happens. We get affected by things like that, right? Because you believe one thing and then you see another and you wonder what happened in between.
Yep.
Right? So things like that. So happy birthday, Kim Kardashian. You do your thing.
That's the thing. You can see it from both sides when you can put it to Kim Kardashian, but you have Alex Hutchinson over here who puts out this thing. Granted, it has nothing to do with money and enjoying a private island, but that's his thoughts and his opinions, not to say that it's fact.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about that real quick. Because
nobody really saw it. Nobody really saw it from both sides of the lens. They just saw it as he's making this as a fact, a statement, and this what may our future possibly hold. I see what he means, but it's not gonna.
Right. So the thing with that is like, there's a lot of things. So this is what I was trying to tell you before, and somehow it escaped me. There's a lot of things that I want to say on social media, but me thinking out loud is not a good idea. Right. And you got to know that about yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. So the challenge with Alex, right, is that thinking out loud may not necessarily be a good idea all the time. That's all I'm saying. So it's not that I'm not necessarily seeing it from both sides. It's just that I know for me, okay, so I'm not, you know, Alex, you know what? Do whatever you got to do, whatever. But I know for me, many times, not just sometimes, me thinking out loud on social media is not a good idea. So I have to PR what I say. But I know that about myself. Right. So if I know that about myself, you get the filtered me on Twitter and whatever other platforms that I use. But if you're not necessarily aware of that for yourself, you get whatever you get with different people on social media.
This is true.
That's all I'm saying. So it's not like we're just looking at it from his perspective as it's all negative, but he thought out loud. He didn't think twice about it. We can give him the benefit of the doubt and say, let's say he did, but he still posted it, right? And the fact that he posted it, he got the heat that he got.
Yeah.
Is it warranted? I don't know.
I think it's warranted to have conversation about it.
Sure. But who's trying to have a conversation with him?
Nobody has conversations on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just him, just in general.
Right. Right. So there's that. So I have nothing else on that.
Yeah, I got nothing else. It's just that's a hot mess of that thing turned into.
Yeah. Crazy stuff there. Next thing I have, more excitement. Destiny 2, the Bungie vidoc that recently released, had some surprises in there. I'm not going to go too much into it because I definitely want to say, hey, if you are a fan of Destiny or any looter shooter and you want to see some captivating stories and how they do that thing, they just know how to do it. Okay. They know how to pull you back into a universe that you thought you were going to abandon. And, it's amazing just to see what they were able to do with the next thing that they're going to release, not too long from now, November, right? So excited for Destiny again. The vidoc was absolutely amazing. It was about 14 minutes and 48. They showed, you know, the powers. They showed, you know, their video editing is amazing. If you ever watch anything Destiny related, they gave you some backstory, and I'm being very, very somewhat, evasive, if you will, as it relates to what is actually in there. This is why. Because it's just something that you need to experience if you haven't seen Destiny in a while, because you decided that you just wanted to just not check it out. And what they're bringing together in this package for the next thing that they're going to release is absolutely amazing. And some of the characters that are coming back was surprising. And I posted something earlier on Twitter today. I'm conflicted because one of the guys that they're bringing back, I was like, why? Okay, I'm mad, but I'm like, does that mean you're going to bring somebody else back that we lost? So I have mixed emotions about the whole thing. But bottom line is this, Destiny 2 is still an amazing game. They're still captivating. They're still doing some amazing stories that are captivating. And the fact that they're doing all this from home, like many other developers and stuff like that, with the sound effects and all the stuff that they're doing, I think it's a stellar, stellar job. And kudos to them for what they're doing.
So that's what you're going to be spending your November, huh?
That and the Genshin Impact. And of course, I'm surprised at how much I'm enjoying that game. I really am.
Well, it's good though.
It is.
Those surprises, those games that you never thought you would enjoy, and then suddenly they just sneak up on you.
Yeah, it feels like it's not Final Fantasy, but it feels like I think there's a lot of elements that really catches me in that, right? You have the music. The music is incredible. It's incredible. I don't know how they... It's just amazing, right? The characters and the voice actors for the game, incredible, okay? And you're navigating this world, and you have a Paimon, I think that's what it's called, that's navigating with you in the world to help you understand what has been done to the land and all that. So all that is... I can enjoy that and not be like super engaged. It's a laid back game, but yet there's things that you need to do to make sure that you're defeating the enemies and stuff like that. I like the fact that it's that chill, but yet there's levels to it, right? And I haven't played, I guess it's considered an RPG of sorts, right? I haven't played a game like that in a long time. Is it an RPG?
It classifies it.
Action RPG. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. And the music, the score is amazing. And I like when you're getting close to enemies, you know, the music kind of fades in. And because I love audio, I'm listening to all the different things. It's good. It's good. So if you haven't, it's free, you know, to some degree, right? It's an amazing game. You should check it out. Eventually. I know you had it on the phone, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Eventually, I play it on PC and see how it goes.
Yeah. So that's taking up my time too. And anything else that happens in between, any surprises in November, which, you know, we get surprises sometimes, so that's good. Hideo Kojima, Daniela, new game, new project in development. That's all we know. What do you think it might be? What genre?
I think he has a very dark personality to him.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to ever really come out with something that's kind of like even in the realm of Metal Gear. So I want to say it's closer probably to the horror game that he wanted to come out with, which is PT. At least I'm hoping so. I don't know if it would be a Death Stranding 2, though. Maybe. But at this point, does he really have to say what it is about? I think it's enough that he said for him to say, like, yeah, I'm working on something. But he also said that a major project of his got canceled too. So, okay. But he didn't say what that was. So that's very interesting. So, you know, not everything this man comes out with is everybody going to say yes to.
So
let's be realistic here. He isn't completely untouchable, even though he kind of is.
He's so amazing, though. So I would love to see a super high-tech FPS game from him. I would love to see that. I would. Because Metal Gear had a lot of elements where if he was to create a story around an FPS game, I think it would do incredible. Because, like you said, his mind, and he's incredible, right? So if we were to see some of the storylines that he's had in Metal Gear 2 or even 3, and he creates an FPS around that, I think that'd be absolutely incredible. Or a mixture of FPS horror, right? I think that would hit.
Yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah, especially coming from him. So I would love to see something like that if those cards are on the table. But it doesn't matter, right? Because his last game did well.
Yeah, it did. For him, he felt he did well.
Can you elaborate on that comment?
Well, that's kind of it. For him, like he stated that, you know, he did really well. So he's happy. With what?
I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I was surprised because I was more interested in the movie than the game. Because that's a movie. Like, if you put all the cutscenes together,
it's a movie.
It's an amazing movie. I was more interested in that than the game. Like, the packaging thing, it wasn't my bag. But the movie looks amazing. So we shall see. We'll keep tabs on it, of course, and see what happens with that. So a couple of things before we get out of here. Uncharted movie. Tom Holland.
Okay, I want to know your thoughts about it, because I feel like you have some really good impressions and opinion about that.
I try to be fair, really. Yeah. I just try to be fair. Not all the time, but I try. And I think that the depth of the characters that we see certain actors play, we don't know until we experience it, right? We've had some surprises in some movies. I don't have any on my mind now, but when we thought this actor could not play the role of whatever, and then the movie comes out, they play the role, and we're like, hey, we just have to take that back, right? So that's the lens I'm going in with, right? So Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, I think that could be great.
I think he looks good. When I saw that picture of him on set, just there, I think he fits the part. Right. I think he'll do good. And I think a lot of people are very attached to Nathan Fillion just because, well, visually, he looks pretty similar. Right. Plus, you have that fan-made video. And it just almost like fits. And Nathan Fillion's kind of been like trying to sell himself as, you know, Nathan Drake there for a bit. But like seeing Holland in that position, yeah, I see it. I can dig it.
Give him a chance.
I really do enjoy his acting. So the only thing that makes it difficult for me, like so anything I've seen him in, he's definitely played, you know, that high school kid, a teenager, obviously Spider-Man. So when I see him, I see, you know, a very young adult, like teenager. I don't see a scruffy adventurer that's like this man. So maybe this could be the film that really establishes him. Like, I can play these strong, like leading role as like leading men.
And he's an actual gymnast.
Yeah.
So when he's going to do the things Nathan Drake, how could you not put two and two together that that's going to be at least halfway good?
Well, because he's athletic doesn't mean that the acting and his personality will fit into that character. And that's always a concern, too.
True.
But I can see it. I can see it. And I think this one, like when I watch this, this is like I said, is going to be definitely that role where I don't see him as that, you know, high school character anymore, because he's what, 23, 24 years old, but he looks like he's 18, 19.
Right.
I think Spider-Man, I think what was he playing, a 16-year-old?
Right.
So I think that's the hard thing, is to see past that, because you have like Batman, you have, what's his name? Robert Pattinson, which everybody just always sees him as, like, even though he's played a lot of other great roles, all they see is a sparkly vampire. But then they saw the trailer and they're like, wow. So I think it's just removing that image of what that actor is known for or best known for, to be able to see them in another light. And it'll just take having to see the film. But I can see it. I can.
The guy who played the King in Gladiator, who also played Joker, right? I hated him in Gladiator, right? And I think
The King in Gladiator?
Yeah, and Joker? The King in Gladiator. Remember? Who was the last Joker? That guy.
That's what a J.
You know that guy.
Yes, I do, but that's not the same actor.
You sure about that, Daniela?
Oh, that Joker.
Yes.
I was thinking Suicide Squad. I'm like,
no.
Okay, Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah. I hated him in Gladiator, right? The bits and pieces of Joker actually introduces or magnifies or I guess raises the awareness for mental health, right? For the Joker movie itself,
Yeah, some I guess you could say that.
Yeah, right. So a little bit of that. So when he plays, if he plays a nice movie, that he's a friendly guy, it's going to be hard for me to remove what I've seen, the bits and pieces and trailers of the Joker and what I remember him in Gladiator, because I have not seen Joaquin Phoenix in any other role besides those roles. And that's not good. Because I'm sure he's done some amazing roles ever since. Right? Kind of like Shia LaBeouf, right? We only see him in Transformers, but some of his recent movies, the last two or three, have been amazing acting. I think one of the movies he did, he played his dad or something like that, from what I understand, right?
I don't remember.
And he's an amazing actor. So much so, he's such, you know what? He's not only an amazing actor, Shia, he's also an amazing interviewer. So when they had those series, I think it was Variety, where actor versus actor or actor on actor or whatever, watching him interview actors, it's another level, like insanely another level.
I've never seen any of those.
I gotta link you. It's another level. He just great, right? So I think that going back to Nathan Drake, the new Nathan Drake here, I'm going to give him a chance. I think he can pull it off.
Yeah, I have to agree. Because I can totally see it. He's going to be able to change my mind to see him as like, you can play a man. I think you're at the age now that you can play a man and it's okay.
You can do it. You can do it. So we already talked about Genshin. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Miles Morales gameplay. Any thoughts on that? Anything you saw?
Man, that was some action-packed gameplay there that I saw. Like everything that was going on, I was like, whoa.
Absolutely.
I think you should wait for Miles Morales, though. That's what
I think.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should just jump in for that.
It looks so good. It really does. So that's I think that's all we have. Did we leave anything out? Anything that you want to add in? Anything that we left
I think that's a lot. I don't think we left anything out.
Okay, sweet.
We went over all my shopping.
We did go over all your shopping.
No, but with Miles Morales, I think you should wait for that one.
So one thing,
I think you'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. One thing that they said was interesting between the two games, Spider-Man and this game, is how they were distinguishing the swinging styles of the characters. That even the swinging style is different from Spider-Man and Miles. And they wanted to make sure that you could see that they were totally different between the two games.
I think even though I'm not like a fan, that if they use similar models where you couldn't see those little fine details of the difference between how they approach Spider-Man and stand and swing and fight,
yeah,
I think I would have been upset.
Yeah.
Because that would have been something like a cheap little like, okay, you're just cutting corners here and you're lazy. But
even that I'm excited about. So yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm going to wait. It's just cool to see like comics and characters that you grew up with on such a scale like this, like even to the point where I'm ready to go back and watch some of the movies. It's just to appreciate everything, you know, Spider-Man related. But at any rate, excited for this too. It looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's the one that I think you should invest your time in and just jump the gun on that one. Day one.
Day one?
Yep.
I think that's November. It's early November. So I'm looking forward to that one. So that's all I got. Last thoughts before we do the things?
No. I'm glad. I'm just happy. Every week, I'm just happy that we can make Wednesdays work now.
Absolutely.
Or make a day during the week at some point work.
Absolutely. Same. I'm glad we could definitely make it work. So guys, a couple of things with our partners, and I'm going to give it back to Daniela. Libsyn is an amazing host. We use Libsyn as the audio host, and I've been using them since episode 115. So we're recording episode 564. They've been an amazing audio host. If you're looking to host your podcast on a platform, they stay on top of all the changes that are happening in the podcasting industry. So definitely check out Libsyn. We'll have that and the links in the description. Also, one of the things that recently caught my attention that I did some research on is Proton VPN. They are the best free VPN online right now. I dare you, go find the best free VPN. You're going to land on Proton VPN. They're that good. And I'll have links for them in the show notes as well. They do not log your stuff. Strong protocols. OpenVPN is in there. DNS leak prevention is in there. As far as a kill switch is concerned, Tor over VPN is in there. You get all that good stuff with Proton VPN, and we'll have the link in the show notes. And that's all I have. And aside from, if you're a coffee drinker, grinding coffee is really, really dope. You can get 25% off by using the promo code TSR. And the promo code for Libsyn is TSR as well. And Daniela, it's over to you.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for episode 564. You can go ahead and check out all of our show notes. They'll be available on the website at www.theshowradio.info. And of course, if you want to support us and show us some love, you can go and check out our Patreon. All of our episodes are uploaded there first, and then it's going to be available on your favorite podcatchers later. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts. I don't know, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of those other good places. And you can always show support. That doesn't cost you anything. You can leave a review, tell a friend, share us on all of our socials. And you know what? That's like the best way too. We love those things. So thank you again for listening to us and checking us out and hanging out with us when we are live. You can follow Andrew on all his socials on Twitter and Twitch at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can follow me on my socials and Twitch at Miss DJM. And until next time, we have one more week left to go out and vote, wear a mask, and take care of yourself.